AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math & Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math & Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Big Bang.
It is what it is, man.
PJ Scream.
You don't be on nothing, I'll be on.
Baby Jade.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this then.
Bring you big facts.
Ethnic right now.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Live from the Trap Music Museum, it's time for Big Facts. Big Bang, Baby Jade, DJ Scream. We are here and we got a special guest today. We're about to have a classic conversation with the one and only Angela Stanton King has joined us on Big Facts. Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Nah, I'm scared, though.
Don't be scared. We're scared of you now. I don't see you on 6. I don't see you on 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. What you on today?
Well, I'm on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm on 4.
You on 4? Right. No. What we need to do is get you on 10, huh?
I mean, people say I'm always on 10, but it just kind of depends on what we talking about, I'm advocating, we chilling. It just depends on how the conversation goes.
I want to start with how you got to the present place of being Angela Stanton King and everybody caring about your voice and the topics and you speaking on sensitive topics and being pardoned by President Donald Trump and so forth. So let's start with a little bit of that story just in case someone's not familiar.
I'm glad you said a little bit because it's a whole lot bit.
Yeah, no, we got time. Well, today we got time.
From right here, from Summer Hill. In fact, Lucci grew up right next door to us. My grandmother owned a house over there for about 50 years, but I'm kind of what they say is that, you know, everyday stereotype, you know, born into poverty, born into a dysfunctional family. Everybody was drug dealers, drug users, you know, prostitutes. And the ones that did make it out, they got out and they went on. So, you know, it was kind of like every man for himself in Summer Hill when I grew up. Mm. And I was for myself. I jumped off the porch early. You know, got involved in illegal activity, wanted to make a lot of money fast. Mm. That's when I ended up getting locked up and going to prison with Apollo, Fader's husband. Mm. While in prison, I was pregnant with
Apollo
my daughter.
Snitch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We can talk about all that.
I didn't know that there was I never met nobody that was locked up with him, but.
Yeah, it's a whole lot to that story, but while I was in prison, I was pregnant. My mother passed away. My grandmother passed away. This is because Brian Nichols at the time had did that shooting in Atlanta. They wouldn't transport any prisoners. So I wasn't allowed to attend. Thought I was going crazy, but just asking God to help me find my way while I was in prison. Ended up giving birth to my daughter, chained to a bed with a sheriff watching. And they took her from me 24 hours later. After that, I want to say I got released from prison 18 months after my daughter was born. And when I walked out of state prison, the feds were sitting on the other side of the fence locking me up for another charge. But it was all related. And this was kind of when I found out that I was being framed and set up by Phaedra and Apollo. And it was just a long journey for me. So in that moment, I'm a mother coming home from prison. I am a convicted felon. I'm on federal parole. I'm on state parole. I'm on state probation. I'm on city probation. I have four children dependent on me. I came home with a $25 check, a garbage bag full of clothes, two tombstones. My mother wasn't one and my grandmother was in the other. And everybody's like, start over. So for me, my transition began at that moment because I didn't have family support and I couldn't depend on welfare or the government system. I couldn't go to Section 8 and just hop right off. So I had to figure out how to make it. And one of the things that I didn't know how to do was write. So I wrote my first book while I was in prison. I wrote my second book when I got out of prison. And I remember I was on my last day at the shelter because they only gave you 45 days before you had to max out. And I had nowhere to go. And so it was this lady that told me that it was this woman in Children's Center that would help me in Forest Park and that I should go there with my children. So she gave me a token. And at this point, I'm ready to die because I lost everything. Baby daddy in jail, life without parole. Another one locked up on a federal charge. My grandmother's house was gone. They had so like everything I had known to be normal to me had completely changed. So I'm like, God, where do I go? And it wasn't just me feeling like it was no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm looking at my children and I'm like, I'm in a position where I cannot provide. And I think for anybody that's a mother, you don't want to be in a position where you feel like you cannot provide. Now, I knew how to get money, but I got four probation officers on my back telling me the minute I make a wrong move, I'm going to jail. But won't nobody hire me, but my kids hire me. And we need somewhere to stay. So my back up against the wall. So I end up going to the center and I cry my eyes out to the lady. I'm like, look, if you don't help me today, I'm like, I feel like I'm gonna die. I don't have nowhere else to go. And it just so happened that the lady that was working at the center that day was the niece of Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. And she took me in. She gave me an apartment. She gave me a job. And from that moment, I had been doing community service within Atlanta. I want to say for the past 20 years, I worked with the schools, the detention centers, the shelters, going back, giving back, and at the same time, building myself back up. So I ended up releasing my book, Lies of a Real Housewife, which made me a 3-time national best-selling author. And I ended up getting sued by Phaedra for $30 million for releasing the book. We went to court for 4 years. I found an attorney that took my case pro bono, and I eventually won that case and had the right to tell my story freely. After that, I got a reality show from Queen Latifah. I was on BET, season 3 of From the Bottom Up. And then from there, I got a call from my godmother, and she's like, I want you to go talk to President Trump. I'm like, I ain't going to talk to Trump. I'm like, he hate black people. Why you want to send me? And it was one of them situations where I owed this lady my life. Why am I going to talk to Trump? And she's like, because he's working on criminal justice reform. And I'm like, but mom. And she's like, well, Angela, just pray about it. So then I had to think back to when I was in prison and how bad I wanted to get out. And I wouldn't care if you had to go speak to Satan himself to free me. You better go handle your business. So I got out of my feelings and I went in and I met this man. And not only did he hear what I had to say, you know, I was very instrumental in helping him pass the First Step Act, which freed a lot of our brothers and sisters and sent a lot of our people home. And then he also made it illegal for them to chain women to the bed during childbirth. I then ended up getting a full and unconditional pardon for myself, ran for office here in our community. I ran against John Lewis. But the problem was I was a black Republican that supported Trump. So they completely overlooked the fact that I was right here from Atlanta, from the hood, a part of the history. right? Had done the work. It was the fact that I was registered as a Black Republican and Trump had endorsed my campaign.
Could you be a Trump supporter and say, I salute Trump for letting me out and some of the things he did for criminal reform without, I'm not saying you're not a Republican or whatever the case is, but can't you do that without fully?
I'm switching to independent now and I'll tell you why.
Got you. That's
but in that moment, I agreed with our Republican policies.
Gotcha.
If we talk about the Republicans as a party and how they may feel towards us as a people, that's one thing.
Gotcha.
But if we talk about policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The policy is what I agree with, not their perception of us as a people.
Gotcha.
So you want to take a second for those people that are watching that don't understand what a right-wing campaigner is? Do you want to take a second and explain to them exactly what that is and what it is that you represent as a right-wing person?
Well, I can tell you what I represent, but I can't speak for all right-wing people because we all don't feel the same, right?
Okay.
Because what I've realized in the work that I do, and I know we're going to talk about Auntie Andy's house, a lot of people know that I'm pro-life and I advocate for babies, but I specifically advocate against the Black maternal health crisis. So what I've learned through my affiliation
with Republican... Why do you advocate against that?
No, I advocate for it.
For it, okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I was about
yeah.
to say, like,
No. We need solutions.
Yeah,
we're gonna get into that,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
So what I've learned is that while I'm in a Republican Party, although they may be pro-life, they aren't pro-Black. And my issue is specifically Black babies and Black women
that are dying on these fucking tables during childbirth and nothing is being done about it.
Right. And if they're saying, because it's on the whitehouse.gov right now, that Black women are 3 times likely to die compared to white women giving birth to their children. Listen, the next sentence, regardless of income or education. So you're telling me I could be the smartest person in the world, but because I'm Black, I'm
too
dumb.
Or the richest Black person. Yeah.
It can have access to the best healthcare in the world. But you tell them that just because I'm Black, I'm dying. Well, that don't make sense. Because why ain't all the Black cows dying from giving birth? All the Black horses, like, birth is natural. So that was something that said, wait a minute, we've got to do something about this. And then what was the solution? Mm. The solution can't be abortion. If the Black mama dying, giving birth, and the Black baby is dying by being aborted, then that means we got to stop and do something about Black life. And that's where I'm at.
So I got a question for you in regards to like your earlier upbringing and like your earlier childhood. So I know that you're from Atlanta, from Summer Hill and everything, but you did move around to like Maryland, North Carolina.
Mm-mm. No, that's not correct. So I was born in Maryland.
Okay.
My mother lived here. My maternal family is from Georgia. My mother met my father. He was a truck driver. They were on the road. So I was born in Maryland. I lived in Maryland for 6 weeks. Then they moved to Buffalo. I lived in Buffalo for the first 14 years of my life while my maternal family was here and still came back and forth.
Okay.
That should clear that up.
So with you coming back and forth and moving around and like, you know, doing different things with different people kind of like all over the place, do you think that that kind of helped set you up for your political career, being able to move around and kind of like know how to intertwine with different groups of people?
I think what really set me up for my political career was my experience. Just being from the hood and really wanting to fight and advocate for things that I think could make us better as a people. So, you know, being a success story and overcoming all of the things that they say keep us down.
Right.
Is what began to shape my political career. And then also when I got out of prison and couldn't get food stamps or Section 8 and figured out how to turn my hustle into something legal, then I realized I didn't need it. And then I also started reflecting on my upbringing and also like some of my cousins, because I'm like, I made it out, but some didn't. So I look at that generational, I guess, I don't know if I want to call it a curse, but like we jumped off the porch when we were 16, got our first little apartment, got on Section 8, got welfare. Some of us went on and got businesses, but the majority of them still in the same place, still collecting Section 8, still on welfare. Now their daughters on welfare, now their grandchildren receiving welfare. And how do we break this curse of poverty? And for me, I realized I ain't need welfare. I ain't need none of that.
Yeah.
I ain't need none of that. And that is my message to our people.
What you think the biggest disconnect from the community and politics is?
I know they don't like Republicans because a lot of us are not listening. We listen to a lot of celebrities that tell us who to vote for, and we don't do a whole lot of researching or policy researching. Like, one of my biggest things with our people is I watched Joe Biden tell Charlamagne Tha God, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. But since they've been in office, what have we really received as a people? Like, we see them when they shot the Asians down here in Atlanta. It only took 3 days for them to get an anti-Asian hate crime bill. In addition to that, they also got $50 million specifically for Asian people. We get 6 months later, 10 elders shot dead in Buffalo shopping for groceries. They weren't running from the police. They weren't wanted for the police. They hadn't committed a crime. These are elders just shopping for groceries. And you got Democrats and mayors and everybody telling the people of Buffalo to give up your guns. What, give up? Where is our anti-hate crime bill for Black Americans? How do we got $100 billion to send to Ukraine and y'all keep telling us Black Lives Matter, but y'all not doing anything to rebuild these Black communities? If you want to reduce crime, you got to reduce poverty. What's the problem?
Well, if somebody asked the question, I'm just speaking like for the just the person that asked this question. Well, it seemed like maybe there ain't never been a president to really do nothing for us. Would you agree with that?
I couldn't agree with that when it comes to Trump because I was directly involved for in making yourself, a difference. Right. So if I don't be honest about that, then I'm cheating myself.
Right.
But I think that they could all do more. Mm. Trump could do more. Biden could do more. Mm-hmm. The Republicans can do more. The Democrats can do more. And this is why I'm choosing to go independent, because what I've learned is we are so busy fighting each other, the left and the right, that all of the people we suffering. Nobody's seeing about the people. Mm-hmm. I had a good example of that, I want to say maybe about 3 weeks ago. Rob Kennedy came by Auntie Angie's house. Auntie Angie's house is the pregnancy home that I have in the West End for women who choose life. Because we are arguing about a choice. Well, the women who keep the babies, they made a choice to keep the baby. So why are we not supporting them, right? So Rob Kennedy came by and I got so much hate from Republicans. And it's nothing new to me because the same hate that I'm getting from them now is the same hate that I got when I was supporting Trump. So I'm used to that. But what I realized is that y'all more focused about who the president is or which party we're supporting than the women and children that need help.
Right.
So I'm done.
And then another thing that I wanted to touch on too, that you just spoke about how you were pregnant and you gave birth while you were in prison. My question to you is, as far as that whole situation is concerned, while you were going through that process and while you were in there going through your pregnancy and having to deal with your daughter being taken away from you 24 hours after you've given birth to her, what was your thought process about how you were going to approach motherhood once you did get yourself out of that situation and once you were reunited with her?
I think at that moment, I didn't know. I was so devastated because it felt like I had given birth to a
Did that cause you to suffer from postpartum while
of
you were in there?
Of course. I was in prison. And it was a hard transition for me because after I gave birth, they sent me back to the prison. It was overcrowded, so I didn't even have a bed. I was given a mattress and told to get down, up, and off the floor, which caused me to hemorrhage. And in prison, they only give you 3 pads a day. And I don't know how raw we can get on here, but it was a very, very bad experience. But I will tell you this. Because of that experience and that same daughter now, y'all might have seen her on Steve Harvey. She was the first Black girl to win the International Debate Championship. Harvey.
Congratulations for her.
Yes. My baby is now in her second year at MIT. Already had a job working for Bloomberg. So God will turn an ugly situation into something beautiful. But I think for me, I wanted to make sure that the next time I did get my children back in my arms, that I wouldn't ever leave them again.
Right.
And I think that while I was in prison, it was important for me to stay sane so I could make it back to my children. Because to me, it was like a reality shift. Like many of us of the same skin color, we don't spend time in prison before. But how many of us went to prison and came home and your grandmama's house was gone, your mama was gone, and your grandmama was gone, and your baby daddy was locked up for life without like nothing was the same. So, and I didn't have any comfort. Like, it was a chaplain that came to me each time and told me that my mother and grandmother had passed away. So just imagine just being, it just didn't seem real. So once I got out, got back with my children, I was just all about community because I didn't want anybody else to have that experience.
Right.
And so when Trump was working on criminal justice reform and we were seeing everybody talking about family separation at the border, it triggered something in me because I'm like, we don't think about the family separation that happens in the border. Every time somebody get locked up, they separated from their family. It don't matter if it's for a speeding ticket. How many of our people locked up, separated from their family, can't see their kids? So it's like, why are y'all advocating to fix something at the border that ain't even been fixed in the border?
That's an epidemic within the state lines.
Separating families. Like, you wouldn't take a puppy from a dog until 6 weeks later. Right? You don't take a puppy from it. If a dog gives birth, you leave a puppy with a dog for 6 weeks, right? So it can breastfeed or whatever. You don't take a human baby from a mother right after birth? Like, what are we fighting for? Like, how we got all of this ambition to fight for people at the border? And I ain't against nobody. But where's that fight for us?
So, okay, let me ask you this then. With that same conversation, and I'm totally on the same page that you're on, but just playing devil's advocate for a minute, what would you say to those people that feel like, well, that's just something that you have to suck up and deal with because you shouldn't have made the decisions that got you in there?
Well, I already changed the law, so I don't have to worry about that. Nobody else will experience that. Mm-hmm. So just call that my cross. See, it don't matter what other people say because I'm doing work. I have real tangible receipts. Right. For the work that I'm doing. So it's like, you know, we all carry a cross for something. And back then I couldn't understand why I was experiencing it. But now that I know that I've changed history and changed the law, it don't get no better than that.
How different you've been in the streets, you've been in politics. How different is the streets from politics? Because it seems like it's a lot of similarities, right? I think politics
is more grimy than the streets.
I've heard that plenty of times. That's why I asked.
I think politics is more grimy than the streets.
You got one set of people wearing suits and then another set of people not really wearing suits. But
yeah, and the real problem with politics right now, what I've learned for us is everybody sold out. Republican side, Democrat side, everybody sold out.
When you say sold out, yeah.
What I mean is when I ran for office, everybody was coming to me about their special interests. So these people are bought. You understand? If you go look up every Democrat right now, you're going to see that they're funded by Planned Parenthood. If you go look up every Republican right now, you're going to see that they're funded by the NRA. So remember, the people that control Congress control the laws. And if the laws benefit them, then it's worthy of them to buy into it. So that's why we see right now, even in Atlanta, Georgia, and shout out to Andre Dickens, I ain't got no beef with you, bro. Please don't come for me. But you just got $7 million to house illegal immigrants in hotels. And y'all know we are walking over our own people, sleep on the streets, sleep on the steps of the courthouse, sleep on the steps of the churches. You can't get off the expressway anywhere in Atlanta without somebody asking for some money. You see tents all up and down the highway. And what I'm saying is this, the government, they are the parents of America. You would be wrong if you went to work all week and got your paycheck and came home and gave it to everybody else except your wife and your children. You got a responsibility to make sure you take care of your home. That don't mean you won't help the people across the street, but you got to take care of your home first. That's our responsibility. The government is not taking care of home. So I've learned that I can do more for my people in a community without ever even having a seat in Congress. And that's where I'm at.
What you think, like, if you had to look at this shit and say your biggest problem then, what's the solution to it?
When I first came out of prison?
Just period, like right now, what's going on? Like how you just named that about the city, like you could change.
I think our biggest problem is we're not listening to real voices and real people. We're not. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, how is it that most of these people that are in these districts that say they represent the people, They're not even from that district. They're not even from the community. Like the woman who John Lewis died when I ran against him. How many of y'all know about Nakima Lewis? Nakima Williams. Where's she from? She's from Alabama. Not even from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then wouldn't even debate. She turned down 11 debates. Like, how are you gonna trust somebody? Like, if you won't debate your opponent who's from the city, who's had the experience, like I've been in the trenches with y'all. I know what the city needs. You from Alabama. It should be a law that you can't even represent those people unless you are from that community. And then it should also be another law that if you aren't willing to debate your opponent, then I'm not willing to vote for you. Because if you won't argue and debate your opponent, how I know you're going to argue for me in Congress? What has Nakima Williams done since I lost that election? The only time we seen Nakima Williams.
You went up against Nakima?
She came up against me. I went up against John Lewis, and he died, and then they wrote her in. So she never, it was never against anything because she wouldn't debate. But this is my question.
So you want to debate Nakima right now? Because I'm about to interview Nakima. No. It's coming up. Do you want to, do you?
Absolutely.
Like you said.
But Nakima going to cancel. Nakima not going to debate me on your show. Nakima never debate me. You know why? Because Nakima Williams' only stance is abortion. And what I'm saying is, regardless of whether we are pro-choice or pro-life, black women and black children deserve more than abortion. That's what I'm saying. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay. But I'm not going to be hated for helping these women that want to keep their black babies. I'm going to do the work.
You running? Are you, so are you running again in 2020?
I don't know about that running again. You see what they know in the Trump. I don't know about that shit.
What's the pressure?
It's a lot. Like, because before I ran for office and you look up Angela Stanton King online, you will see national best-selling author, you know, reality show star. But now you go look up Angela Stanton King, you see white right-wing conspiracy theorists, white supremacists, black Trump supporter. No, I'm Angela Stanton King. And if I had a door open to work with Trump to advocate for our community, you telling me I'm supposed to say no? I'm talking about Angela, the one that's been to prison, the one that's from the hood. A president invites her to the Oval. I'm supposed to say no because people in their feelings. But not only did I go in, it wasn't a Photoshop, a photo op for me. I had real results for the community. And I don't think that's something, like, we're, all the people working with Biden, ain't none of them been called a coon, ain't none of them called a sellout or none of that. But what we got? They said they need Elsa's. About what? When I get big fat, big fat, big fat.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You think you're unfairly kind of just thrown in that, what's the lady's name? Was it Candace Owens? Who was the?
Yeah,
you think you're unfairly kind of thrown in that circle?
You know, I actually like people, like Black people. I actually love Black people. My husband is Black. All my children are Black. I've never been with a white man a day in my life. I don't have nothing against white men. Some of my closest friends are white. It's just not my preference. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, when we talk about right wing stuff, we got. You know, I can only represent me.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Clear. Clarity.
Yeah, my whole family Black, both sides.
Clear. You want all the smoke.
I'm just being honest. I mean, we gonna be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I had a problem with what happened to George Floyd. That was a problem for me. I was on the ground advocating. So I was the only Black person at the FBI conference that demanded the arrest of Derek Chauvin, but he was locked up the next day.
Let me throw something out there, because I'm not so nationally tied to like the national big president politics. I do think like locally is very important, but I don't know. You don't feel like your man's like, you don't think that Trump could have done more in that particular situation with George Floyd and others that year? Because Black men was...
George Floyd said it was wrong. He called on the FBI to investigate it. He designated it as a hate crime. He invited their family to the White House. We got to really do our research on that whole situation.
He would sign executive orders for other stuff and make stuff happen.
And again, like I told you, we're going to go back and forth all day about Joe Biden, about Trump and all that. I don't think Trump did everything that he could. But I do appreciate the things that he did that we asked him to do, especially somebody that they say is a racist. Because we know for a fact that he done more to help the Black community than Joe Biden has. And Joe Biden been in office, I want to say, at least 73 years. He got to be about 108 now. And I don't know. Talking about if you don't vote for me, you ain't Black.
So who your biggest op like in this shit?
I feel like it's me against everybody, to be honest with you, because it's like I get caught in the middle, because it's like Black people, sometimes they be mad at me because I decided to be Republican. Then Republicans get mad at me because I might be a Republican, but I'm a pro-Black Republican and I don't care about hurting your feelings because I'm going to tell you the truth. So I be stuck in the middle. I be like, damn, I'm fighting for y'all. Y'all mad at me. Then over here, y'all mad at me for fighting for my people. It's like they'll be all behind Black voices for Trump or Blexit. But if I'm Auntie Angie being a Black voice for Black babies, then all of a sudden it's racist. I don't get it.
It was a big blow up with you and Jason Lee, right?
Jason P. What? That's what I call him because he smelled like piss. That's what he smelled like when I saw him.
Jason Lee, Hollywood Unlocked. The Jason Lee show. He got the show. Some revolt, I think, too.
The problem is I'm a mother. So I have five children, and my son, his father, you all might have heard of him. He was a rapper, Decatur Slim. He was with Three Crazy, with Dro and T.I. and all of them.
But he got killed, right?
He got murdered.
Okay.
And 2 months after my son's father was murdered, because he was in prison for 9 months, my son decided that he was going to transition to a woman. I asked my son and said, baby, why are you doing this?
He said, why would I want to be a man? He said, look at what they did to my dad. Right? So Jason Lee wanted to bring me on his show to make me, I guess, understand or believe that my son was a woman and to accuse me of misgendering my own child. I don't have any respect for that. Because at the end of the day, I don't expect anybody to feel the way about my children that I do. Because they're mine. I birthed them. I knew my son had a penis before he did. So I've eventually come to terms with what's going on with me and my child. But Jason P. and his whole crew, and I'm sure y'all saw me completely destroy them on an interview with nothing but facts. But stay out of people's business when it comes to them and their children, because I have a right to tell my son the truth, especially if his father is not here. Like, it's my responsibility.
What you saying they were trying to convince you to?
Yeah, telling me that I was wrong and I was hateful and I didn't love my child because I wouldn't say he was a woman.
So basically you trying to do everything you could do to get your son to see he tripping.
Well,
before you accept it.
Basically, salvage his manhood, basically.
Well, I'm not. We talk about white supremacy. Castrating black men is white supremacy. Because if you castrate a black man, then he can't reproduce. We all talking about Black Lives Matter. I don't know how deep y'all want to get.
Go ahead.
But if Black Lives Matter, then we need to make sure that we are protecting black men and their penises and masculinity. Okay? Mm-hmm. Fatherhood is important. Men are important. Every black person in America came from the scrotum of a black man. You damn sure didn't come from a white man. Because let me tell you something about that woman. She can carry the seed of any man. But in order for that child to be black, you need a black man to plant that seed inside of her. So black men are important. My son is a black man. I ain't going to be with the agenda. I'm his mama. Everybody else, if they want to support her, that's okay. It don't mean I don't love him. I do love you because I'm going to tell you the truth. While the rest of the world tell you whatever they want to tell you, I'm the one person on this earth that has the responsibility of telling my child the truth. And guess what? I can do that and still love you. But yeah. I ain't going to make nobody force me to lie to my child.
How did it affect y'all relationship, though?
Me and my child are good now. I'm trying to be respectful. You know, I don't get into all of the pronoun stuff. But, you know, Jay is an adult. And Jay takes care of himself. And don't call me and ask me for nothing. And as a mom, I'm going to love you. But I don't necessarily agree with it. But then another thing that I looked at it, I'm like, we ain't had nothing to say when Martin Lawrence was acting like Shanae. We ain't say nothing when Jamie Foxx was running around acting like Wanda. We ain't say nothing when Tyler Perry was acting like Madea. We've created a society where they look at this as entertainment and it's okay. He make a lot of money doing it. And I'm like, listen, do what you do. Please do not have no surgery and don't, you know, cut your manhood off. And I'm going to stand on that.
Do you believe like people be born like that, though?
I don't. Because I also have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and my child is the reason why I went and got the bachelor's, because I wanted to make sure as a parent that I was fully understanding what I was dealing with. But children are born innocent. They don't have any type of sexual attraction. A baby is born, the only thing they're born with is instincts. They know how to suck and they know how to cry. They know how to use the bathroom. Those things, sexual attractions, all of that stuff come over time as you grow.
I seen some little boys though.
But it's
babies like.
It's what they watching. What are they being exposed to? Because the way that we learn as children is we model behavior. Like if you got all of them been around a baby, you sit around, you feed yourself, then eventually you're going to see that baby pick up the spoon and put it in his mouth. It ain't because nobody taught him to do it. It's because they've been watching us. Or we'll see where we got a bunch of kids in the house and the baby that's crawling, you're going to see him get up and start trying to walk with the other kid. He tired of them kids getting up and walking past. They learn. So we learn, we model behavior. So what's happening is we are allowing society to poison the minds, ears, and the eyes of our children because we are not being more protective over what they see and what they hear.
So you feel like you're supposed to check it like, nah, that's what girls do to a little boy in a certain age. Like, little boy's coming up acting kind of feminine. You feel like you're supposed to check it as a mom.
Let me say this, and I did that, but let me say this, what I'm going to tell y'all now. I'm going to say that a male can have a feminine personality, but that doesn't mean that he's supposed to be a female. And society is wrong by encouraging men with female or feminine personalities, as you call it, to become women. We all, back in the day when we was young, we probably all the same age. Y'all knew the man that he didn't think he was no woman, but he had long hair and he had long nails and he did hair or whatever. And he was always fly and he always groomed. They're conflating feminine personalities with gender. And that's the problem.
Yeah. Angela Stan King is here on Big Facts, speaking her mind from top to bottom.
I'm just saying.
What's your sign?
Pisces.
Pisces, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Cool. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, you know, Jay got to play devil's advocate. So, I'm ready. Come on, Jay.
Come on, Jay. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, my whole question is, I have no argument, excuse me, for what you just said. And I feel like, because I was reading somewhere where you were catching a lot of flack about being against the LGBTQ community and all that kind of stuff. But
I feel that's what they say when you don't agree. Like, because I wouldn't say he was a woman, they said I was homophobic and I hated my child.
Yeah, but I feel like now that you've explained it and you've explained it, that the reason that you did not agree with it from your standpoint is because you were this boy's mother, I have a better understanding and respect for your decision because of that. Because that is your child. You did have him out of you. And if you don't agree with what he's doing, you have all of the right, more so than anybody else, to explain to him why you feel that way.
And to be clear, it's a difference between being gay and transgender, right?
Right.
Like, I knew he was going to be gay, because just like my boy just said, we be seeing him when they little. Like, I knew he was going to be gay. But when you tell me you a woman and I'm your mama.
Yeah.
Like, you having a conversation with somebody else is different. But you coming to me, your mama having that conversation, it don't go the same. You know what I'm saying? And it's not hate. That's my child. That's my bloodline. If he was to listen to all of these people and believe that he was a woman and try to go castrate himself, what happens to my bloodline? His father is deceased. He is the only one that can reproduce what we created. I have a right to protect my bloodline. That's all I'm doing.
Damn. Yeah, that's a strong way to look at it. And now that you've explained it like that, I have a totally different understanding of your reasoning for feeling that way and for thinking like that. And then another thing that I wanted to touch on too, that I'm sure like all of our listeners and viewers and readers and all that shit are like interested in, what the fuck happened with you and Phaedra and Apollo?
Oh shit. Ooh, it's a whole book about that, y'all. Life of a Real Housewife. We made number 3 on Amazon 3 times, made me a national bestseller.
No, were you ever actually on the show?
I wasn't on the show, but I was the only person who wasn't on the show who was on the show. Because every reunion, you heard NeNe or somebody talk about Angela Stanton King, and they just threatened her with it throughout the whole show. And it's like every time they did a reunion, my book sales would go up. I made like $30,000, $40,000 in one night just by them mentioning me. But they knew that it was truth to the story. And I did have an inside plug to the show. So I don't know if
you remember. Was the inside plug Candy?
No.
Okay. But you and Candy are friends?
No. I had a conversation with Candy after she found out how Phaedra did her, because Candy was aware of what was going on with the book the whole while. And I remember seeing Candy and trying to give Candy a copy of the book. And Candy was so loyal to Phaedra. She's like, I don't want it. Like, she was really down for Phaedra. And then whatever happened to them on the show, Phaedra did about the rape thing or whatever. That's what opened up Candy. Candy had an event. I went to the event. It was right after this happened. And Candy was like, Angela Stanton King, we had never met, never had any conversation before that. So Candy wasn't team Candy at all, and it wasn't Candy. But when Kenya said, she's in my dressing room right now, on a reunion, I wasn't actually in the dressing room, but my book was, because I had somebody that was on the show that wanted to place a copy of the book in everybody's dressing room.
So what's in the book? What's the actual
my life story? It talks about my life, how I got in the game, how I met Drama, the rapper who just got out of prison, and how that led me to Phaedra. And then it talks about my incarceration and how they framed me.
So let's get back to that. What happened with that?
Well, to be exact, we all had a little scheme going on. Phaedra had just graduated from Mercy University College, and she was working for Geico. So she had access to all of the numbers and all the checks.
This was before she was an attorney?
This was like during that transition.
Okay.
She had access to all of the company checks. So what they would do is remake the checks. You got all of the account numbers. They'd have me go get an ID with my face on it. We'd go in, open up a bank account. We'd get one of the fake checks, drop it in the bank account. It'd clear. I'd take them the money. We also had a car theft ring going on. You know all of the cars that was in, you know, the Cash Money videos. We would just go pull them right off the lot with a fake title, a fake number, where take it to the chop shop, get it changed. That's what was going on. And Phaedra, because her and I were friends, I never knew Apollo. My relationship was with Phaedra, and for all the details, y'all can read the book. But my relationship was with her through drama, so she introduced me to Apollo. And the agreement that we had was if anything happened, then she was supposed to represent me. Phaedra was even at my mother's funeral holding my newborn baby when my baby died, and I wasn't even allowed to go to the funeral crying with my family knowing that she was framing me. So while I was in the state serving my time, because we got locked up at the car lot together at the same time, when we got arrested, I had to go to the state because I didn't have any federal charges. Apollo and Everett had federal charges pending, so they went to the feds. I went to the state to answer for some of the titles. While I was in the state, they were working on a fed case, and they said that I was the mastermind and that they worked for me. And I didn't even find it out until I got out of prison and got my discovery. And that's when I wrote the book. So not only are you standing, holding my baby, not only did you decide to not represent me, knowing my mother died, knowing I didn't have nothing, told the court that it was a conflict of interest. See, I didn't know about her and Apollo at that time. So when I got out and saw that they got married, like all of that was new to me. I'm like, oh, okay. I was the fall guy for the entire thing. Because when I got out, that's when she was just getting on Housewives of Atlanta. It was just, it's a whole long story. And it's two books, actually. You got Life of a Real Housewife, then you got Dismissed with Prejudice that has all of the dispositions in it, depositions in it, word for word, how she got caught up lying, how she ended up losing the case. Slam, his deposition is in there because, you know, she had went to him and basically tried to use him to testify against me. They was messing around, and then he ended up exposing her. It was a lot. It's a whole book. That's why I wrote the book.
Two.
Life of a Real Housewife and Dismissed with Prejudice. You can get them both on Amazon right now. Get caught up.
You think you're going to transition those into like film? Like film? Would you do like,
you know,
a life story?
I've been talking to somebody about maybe a documentary about just my life and the history, because what I realized is that I thank God for a favor. Because I came home from prison and fell right in the lap of the King family. So I've been able to work with the King family and Mary, my last name King now. I've been able to work with them on community restoration. I was able to work with the Trump family on criminal justice reform. And now I have direct access to the Kennedy family to work on reparations. So I think for me, it ain't never been about a political position. Mm. It's been about fighting for our people.
Okay.
So what office would you want to hold? Like, if you
I don't know. I need to be president and get all this together because they a mess. I don't need to be nothing but the president of the United States. I don't want to be nobody congressman because we all sold and bought. And if I tell people something, like, they might get mad at me. Like, I really think that's why they hate Trump, because he the only one that don't care about Democrats or the Republicans and bucking against the whole system. He buck against all of them.
So you
that's
feel
why
like
everybody
Trump real nigga? Like Trump a real nigga?
He the only one that had his own money when he went in. All the rest of them got money while they was in, because they got tax dollars. Trump, the only one, already had his own money. He wasn't bought.
He draining the swamp.
That's why he don't give a fuck.
He feel like he draining the swamp.
Because he can't be bought. He want to drain the swamp. They try to drain his ass because I don't. That's my boy. I'd rather he be getting black people out of prison than for him to be in prison. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh my God.
I don't think the swamp going to be drained.
You think you going to be a lot more than you, though?
I think that I don't know if he bit off more than he can chew. I think that if they don't figure out a way to get him to stop running, I think that they'll probably try to kill him. And my request would be to him to just go sit down somewhere and enjoy the rest of your life. Keep the money and the businesses that you got left. And I don't know if it's worth it.
What you think they the most mad at him about, though?
Oh, Lord, they mad at Trump about every doggone thing. The Central Park Five. Now, he was my position on the Central Park Five, if I can be honest.
I want to hear this.
The daddy made him confess. The daddy made him confess. They own daddy. So I said, we are more mad, right, at Trump about that than we are at the father, the prosecutor, the jury that convicted them, and the judge that sentenced them. Right.
What was Trump, just for clarity for people reminding, what was Trump's position?
They say he took out an article asking for the death penalty based on his belief of a confession. I ain't trying to make no excuses. He did that. Right. But what I wanted our people to understand was we mad at Trump about the CP5, but why we ain't mad about at Joe Biden about the 94 crime bill? That three strikes you out. that mass incarceration. They got all our daddies and uncles and some of our aunties and stuff locked up serving life without parole for nonviolent drug charges. So we be picking and choosing. Like, we ain't made Joe Biden apologize for that. Ain't who he done let out of jail. Who do we know? All of us know somebody that say they got harmed by Trump. I don't
think none of them apologized, though. Trump ain't apologized. Biden ain't apologized, but maybe
Trump's apology was by overturning the 94 crime bill. That look, I'd rather you do that, right? But who do we know as
look a look how Pop looking.
Who gonna say, who we done heard say got pardoned by Joe Biden? Can we name one celebrity? Can we name one artist? Can we name one black person? I can tell you who. Chelsea Manning.
Brittany.
Oh, no, that was that Brittany Griner.
She's
right.
Over there for a minute.
Right, Brittany, they traded her for a war criminal.
Yeah.
Right, because she knew she wasn't supposed to be going over there with no marijuana, but whatever. I'm glad she home. But you know, that was all about Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ. Like, a lot of this stuff be agendas. Because you got plenty of black people that's right here on your own land locked up for marijuana, and you ain't let them out.
Yeah, they was slow together.
But what about the people, your own citizens locked up? We all know somebody serving time for marijuana right now. Let them out.
Yeah. No, I agree on that.
You went and got Brittany Griner and you ain't get...
No, I'm personally told politicians, like, hey, now, we voted and what's going on? Like, I agree with that.
You think it's because Trump got them stand on his shit? Like, if he do some bullshit, he'll stand on it.
This election shit. Like,
Trump
let it
is
go,
arrogant.
Bro.
He ain't gonna apologize.
Right.
He got his own money. He telling everybody to kiss his ass. You know they don't like that. Just like Jade was saying, they ain't like me for speaking my mind. It take a conversation like this for y'all to feel my energy, know where I'm coming from. We just don't know. We all listening to the media.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. So I got another question then. Let's talk about, and correct me if I'm saying this incorrectly, is it QAnon or QAnon?
I don't know nothing about that shit. They lie like hell.
They put it on you. I'm looking at they don't put
you know
it.
Why they yeah. put it on me?
They got you labeled as a conspiracy.
That's what I'm telling you. Before I came out as a black Republican, y'all didn't see none of this on my names. This is what I'm talking about how the media lie. I don't know nothing about what the fuck. I'm a black woman from the hood.
Well, they saying
what
she
I know about
what,
QAnon?
They're saying basically
they're saying
she's like
she's basically like
some part
guilty
of
they're trying to accuse her of being guilty of like war crimes and like having intelligence of this international.
They're trying to say she's down with the modern day KKK.
Let me tell y'all something.
Like, almost like some Bin Laden
type shit. If I was on some Bin Laden type shit, let me make this clear. If I was on some Bin Laden type shit, the nigga who killed my baby daddy would be dead right the fuck now. It wouldn't be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's it. If he alive, ain't nobody else got nothing to worry about. Right. He alive because he locked up in, but whatever. But ain't nobody got nothing to worry about. That's not what I'm on, but it's a part of this agenda to destroy me in the eyes of the media. You know why? Because I'm really about black liberation and not the kind that come in the form of welfare or free abortion for our people. And that's a problem for them.
They said they need answers. About what? When I get big fat. Big fat, big fat.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you can name like three people, it could be politicians, celebrities, anybody, people that you just like, these are three people I fuck with that y'all should, not saying follow, but listen to. Like, give us three names of people.
Trump.
Black or white.
Kennedy. No, I'm for real. Listen to Trump, y'all. And listen, I want y'all to, and follow his Truth Social. Listen to what he be saying, but you know they just put a gag order on him. They don't even let the man speak for it. So I say, listen to Trump.
Okay.
It's a lot of stuff to what Trump, it's a lot of truth to what stuff with what Trump be saying. And I'm gonna say this too, just on some real shit, because this is just me talking to my people. I remember being with Trump several times when he said that he was fighting against an ancient satanic cult. They tried to remove this from the media several times. Now, I don't know what that means because I ain't know nothing about it. But all I want to tell our people is things are not really that far-fetched. When we start seeing names, you know, in the music industry and everything, everybody is pushing, you know, some type of satanic agenda. And those that have eyes, let them see. And those that have ears, let them hear. Then we know that it has to be some truth to some things. But Kennedy, I've had the chance to work with Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Kennedy going from city to city to march against the vaccine mandates to give people a choice as to whether or not they wanted to do that. I know that Kennedy will fight for our people. I've seen him come against Pfizer with lawsuits, come against the government and be successful. He's somebody that I will listen to. I think that's it for right now. I mean, because them just two people do something for Black people
I ain't even saying just politicians. I'm saying in general. It might be a a rapper. It might be an actor. It might be a community person. You might say yourself me. With those. Okay, that's what
me. I just like, I like a lot of our entertainers. I do. And I think that a lot of people mature and change over time. And I think a lot of them got good messages. You know what I'm saying? But we just got to make sure that this ain't about, you know, people making money, and we just make it more really about our people and how we're going to liberate them. Because one of the things that I would tell our people is pay close attention to the people that's in the mansions and living on the hill and telling you that you suppressed and you can't make it because you a liar. And how you get there? Now, just tell me how to get the money the same way you got the money. Mm. Or let's get all our black entertainers together. And once a year, we do a benefit concert. Because I think B just made, what, $500 billion or something like that? We can do a benefit concert. We can take that money and start rebuilding black communities one by one. Mm. Yeah. Let's do the work. Why are we arguing over politics? Let's do the work. We want to liberate our community. Yeah. We can do it. We don't need them because we ain't gonna never have them. We can start right in Fulton County. Right. Let's do it. Because right now, everything about illegal immigrants, it ain't about us no more.
So what's the first step?
The first step, take all the abortion clinics out of the black communities and take them to the border. I mean, if abortion is such a blessing to black women, why they ain't got abortion clinics at the border? If I go take, if I get some money, I had you call all your partners because I know you know everybody. Mm-hmm. I say, look, raise some money for me to go build a dog abortion clinic next to the Planned Parenthood on Moreland that's in the black community. How long y'all think it'll be before they come shut it down? A dog's life is more valuable than humans. Take some of the abortion clinics. Since 80% of Planned Parenthoods are in black communities because we get abortion clinics, they get fertility clinics, right? Mm-hmm. Just take half of them out of the black community and go put them at the border. Help
you
them.
You saying they rather say trees and shit before they say the black baby.
Man, you ain't gonna never in your life see a dog abortion clinic. You go to I was at a fundraiser 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Them people raised $200,000 for dogs in 10 minutes. Our GoFundMe for Auntie Angie's house raised $18,000. 200 that dogs. It's real. And it's just, it's like, saving babies is not really popular, but saving black babies, and you vocal about it, that really ain't popular.
What you think the agenda is to for the abortion?
Extermination. Extermination and human trafficking, organ trafficking. Because this is my thing where I have to ask my sisters, because I went to the Fulton County Commission the other day, and I had to argue about $300,000 they was about to give some white liberals for abortion. They said they wanted to have the money to make sure black women had access to abortion. And I was talking to Natalie Hall and the other commissioner, Khadijah, and I'm telling them, if we going to have a conversation about abortion in the black community, it's our conversation. Since when do we let white liberals come into our community and say they raising money for us to make sure we have access to abort our children? Why they not raising money for their communities, right? And I think that all of us, and I'm post-aborted too, and say when you know better, you do better. I'm not innocent because I ain't know no better. But none of us, when we left the abortion clinic, left with the baby's remains. If you have a miscarriage or something in the hospital, they'll call the funeral home, give you the baby, tell you to go home, bury the baby or whatever, right? In the abortion clinic, you go in and you have an abortion, nobody leaves out with the baby's remains. So we know y'all ain't just throwing it in the trash because it's too much information out about all of these organs that they need. Now, them a whole lot of brand new eyes and hearts and lungs and black in particular, because we are worth more. So my thing is, if you're telling the black woman to abort her baby because she poor, and then you don't trick the black father to pay you to kill his child, right? And then we go in the abortion clinic after we done paid you to kill our baby, then you're going to take the baby and then you're going to go sell it on the black market. It seems to me if you're going to sell the baby, get the money to the black mama that you told was poor. So it's a non-ending cycle of black genocide. But we saw here talking about Black Lives Matter. Hi. Where you get your black life from? In your mama womb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to get it. It's the only way to get it. So we got to protect it. Mm. And I just think it's time we change the narrative. Like, I'm past the argument of pro-life or pro-choice. And I'm more so on the solution right now. Because if y'all talking about black women aborting their children because they poor, then give us reparations. What is it going to take for black women to stop? They need money. They need financial security. They need housing. We need black men to handle their business and start protecting the babies.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, speaking of housing, financial support, and all that kind of stuff, what is your stance and your take on welfare? And on Section 8 and how they have it set up with the Section 8 system to where
you can't get ahead.
You can't get ahead, basically. And they're basically, for lack of a better way to put it, removing the black male out of the house.
Well, all of that's intentional, right? And that's why when the father is removed, then the mother is the one that becomes the provider. And you can't provide sitting at home. They send you out to go to work. So you will send that child to school for 40 hours a week so they can indoctrinate their child. That's why 18 years later, you got a grown man sitting in front of you talking about he a woman. Because I know you didn't learn that shit in my house, right? That's something that they taught you in school. That's something that you got from society. So all of that has been intentional, the destruction of the black family, breaking down the black family from day one. Now, I'm not totally opposed to welfare because I do understand that sometimes a woman might be in a position where she fell on hard times and she needs support. But lifetime welfare that enables us, the one that had me thinking when I got out of prison, I was just going to come home and get right back on Section 8 and start collecting food stamps and everything was going to be okay. But when that safety net got snatched out from under me, that's when I finally became successful. Because I realized I had something in me. Like, I was gifted. I was talented. I knew how to write. Nothing ever occurred to me in my younger years. Oh, I'm going to grow up one day and own a publishing company. That was forced. Yeah. Right? And so I think that we got to reevaluate, restructure the way that we think. Joe Biden out of his mouth said that he would give illegal immigrants $400,000 for crossing the border, right? You know why they're not going to get that to us? Because the minute they give us $400,000, they know we up and ain't going to need them again. Welfare remind me of this old man I used to go with. I was with this man for 11 years. Y'all probably know him. I ain't going to say his name, though. But he had a whole lot of money, right? But every time my rent was due, he would pay the rent, but he would pay just enough. I used to beg him, like, look, let me get up. Let me start a business. Give me some money to open a business. He would never do that because he knew every 30 days I was going to have to come back. The minute he gave me more than I needed, I was up. I was gone to find me somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I ain't want him no more. But the welfare system treats us the same way. Mm-hmm. They going to keep us locked in. Every 30 days, you got to get a refill on the food stamps. Right? Every month you got to get a refill on the TANF. Every 6 months you got to go down there and recertify. And what does it take to be on welfare? Everything. They want your name, your social security number, your address, your pay stubs, your baby daddy name, your mama name, all the other children's name, your grandmama name. You're a slave to their system and you'll never be free. And that's why black people keep voting Democrat. And for my sisters, it'd be like, I understand. Like sometimes you dependent on Section 8. You don't know how you're going to take care of them kids. You know what I'm saying? And you scared. What if I want to start a business, but what if I'm not successful? And if I let this Section 8 go, it took me 6 years to get it. What me and the kids going to do? So our women, they want more, but they scared. And I understand it.
Right.
So now I'm just all about solutions. I'm not arguing no more. What we going to do to fix it?
Angela Stan King speaking on Big Facts. So do you feel like you're misunderstood? And that's a two-part question. Do you feel like you're misunderstood? And do you give a damn at all? Like,
sometimes I do.
Sometimes you do.
Because people that I need to get through to are often offended because I'm so direct and I'm so blunt. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to learn a new style of delivery. But this style of delivery is what got me right here today and got me keep going. Like, you can't be weak, not in this work.
So, well, y'all tears means other times.
The what?
Y'all tears me.
Who had tears me?
They said you were tears.
He talking about the Q&A. He's joking.
Tears, y'all. It's so lame for that. You know, it's so lame. Like, I'm out here really just trying to help our community, but for them to even put that type of label on me, like, who you hurting? Because I have a husband. I'm very well taken care of. It be the media. You know what I'm saying? It be left-wing media. And everything that I'm doing right now is strictly for the community. I don't have to do nothing. My kids are grown. Their feet put up. Like, I could really be somewhere just not chilling.
Yeah.
But I've taken on this work. Like, that baby right there, that's one of our residents at Auntie Angie House. Like, I'm bringing y'all proof of the work that we're doing in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could be doing anything, but I want real change for us.
To get that real change, don't you think that some of the, we won't call them ops, but some of the people that you're disagreeing with, in disagreement with, you got to agree to kind of disagree and work
this,
together.
I'm hoping with this switch to independent, that'll help. And maybe this show, because y'all, a lot of them be watching y'all. But I think that if we could focus on what we agree on, we could get some work done, right? Mm. Like, it's things we always gonna fight over. But one thing we agree on, we agree that we wanna help Black mothers and children, right? Yeah. We agree with that, because yeah, sure. we from that, right? Mm. We agree that we want our freedoms protected, right? When we talk about what we agree instead of talking about what we disagree about, that's when we can make a difference.
You think the titles is what, make it, a conflict, like, okay, you this, like, so they basically gangbanging.
That's what I said, it's the streets.
That is the game.
That's the streets.
It's red and blue.
Politics is the streets.
It's red and blue. It's the Crips and the Bloods all day in the government. It's red and blue. That's what they do.
And the independent liberal people are like, what, the GDs?
They're the GD. I'm finna be a GD. But I'm going independent, though, because seriously, I want us as a people moving forward to be independent in our thinking and not vote on a person, but vote for policy. We need to start reviewing these policies, and whatever policy is best for us, then that's what we need to vote for. The policy, not the person.
So most of the time, if I was, cause this is gonna be my first time really voting, like, and figuring this shit out. So I don't know what I am yet. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, so is it like, if I'm Democrat, I'm with them a day right or wrong.
I would say
if I'm Republican, I'm with them a day right or wrong.
That's the problem.
That's what's happening now. And that's why you got so many Democrats who voted against the Born Alive Act, knowing that the majority of babies aborted are Black babies. They know this information. This ain't new information. How you gonna vote to kill a baby up until the moment of birth? Who wait all the way up until the moment of birth to kill a baby anyway? But because politics is involved and because these people are bought and sold, they gonna vote blue no matter who.
But I feel, okay, so look, not to cut you off, right? But I feel like this, like, just speaking on what you're saying and what Black is saying about going all the way and being a ride or die for each denomination or whatever, I feel like with that argument that, like, there shouldn't even really be a denomination, like a Republican or a Democrat. It should be, like, right or wrong.
Yep.
But and I know right or wrong is a matter of an opinion to each different person, and it's different for everybody, but some shit is just
wrong.
Common sense. Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yes. And I agree with you. And I really think that's why I said moving forward, I would recommend you be an independent, right? Because that allows you to vote for policy, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
When we say we Republican or Democrat, then we signed into the gang. That's why they beating me up now, because Kennedy came by Auntie Angie's house. Like, y'all not worried about the fact that he's interested in helping Black women and children. Y'all just mad that Kennedy came to my house because y'all just believe I'm just a Trump supporter. It's not my work. Like, my advocacy ain't never been for Trump. My advocacy has always been for my people and my community. Yeah. And it don't matter if it's Trump or Biden or Kennedy. My advocacy does not change.
Mm-hmm. Ski.
If you go with me, you go with her.
Nah.
If he's trying to fuck with me, then pull up.
Nah. Because independence is, if I agree, I might agree with this dude because I agree with what he is. What? I ain't heard if he... It's Democrat or Republican. I just agree with what he say.
We agree with policy.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right. What policies is he pushing? Like, right now, a lot of Black people looking at Kennedy because he's pushing reparations.
Yeah.
Right now, a lot of Black people looking at Trump because Trump's saying, the minute I get in, I'm doing away with all gender ideology and all illegal immigrants will immediately be deported. It's what your issue is. You know what I'm saying? And illegal immigration, y'all, it don't help us. I'm sorry. Y'all sitting up here mixing these brown and Black communities. I'm going to shut up. Yeah, don't help us. Y'all need to free yourself first. Free yourself and then come back and get them people. Help all of these Black women that they send into the abortion clinic. Let's save Black life, for real.
Do you think, like, most of them people that go through school to try to be politicians have a good heart till they get in?
Nope.
They already be fucked up.
No, because they are trained. The difference between the ones that went to school to become politicians and me is that they're smart, but I'm wise, right? I'm wise because my experiences came from life experiences.
Your experiences came
they're
from experience.
Smart because they read a book. So they listening to what somebody else tell them. And that person who wrote that book probably didn't come from Summer Hill. Probably didn't come from the squad. They didn't grow up how we grew up.
Independent on who
know.
Wrote that book determines how knowledgeable they are about certain things.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe all of us
just like the Bible
common sense. That too. Because I believe in God, but I know that the Bible, right, is a religion. Like, God wants relationship. I've studied all of the world religions. God wants relationship. He doesn't want religion. And it's just like Baby Jay said, at the end of the day, this fight that we in right now, it's against good and evil. It ain't about Republican or Democrat. Like, it's just some stuff. Yeah,
I agree with
y'all
that.
Know
that.
It's about niggas and bitches and riders and punks.
What side are you on? Nah, I agree with that totally, Queen.
Yeah. Like, we just vote for what you know is right. And I think all of us got a responsibility to protect these kids. I don't care if you got children or not, but this stuff that we see going on, black people is unacceptable. Wake up. Black people better wait. And we not talking about nobody. You ain't against nobody. But protecting children should be far most important than anything else, because we ain't going to live forever.
Did you ever have one of them backslide moments where you feel like, man, I'm from just going back to what I know, man?
No, I went back to what I knew. I went back to what I knew. When I first came home from prison and wouldn't nobody give me a job and I ain't had nowhere to stay and my back was up against the wall and my baby's looking at me, I'm a... Shit. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
So you have to stay clean.
That's a no. Yeah. Well, Trump just gave me a whole full power, and I'm back to a clean slate. I can jump off and get... No, I'm just playing. But I've been blessed. You know what I'm saying? That I don't have to, but I'm not from a position of judging or knocking a mama for doing what she got to do to take care of her kids.
What's a full pardon though? Like, what that mean?
A full and unconditional pardon is like it never happened.
Oh, so your record is clean. You can go get your firearms now.
I had almost 30. I got my firearm with me right now. I had almost 30 felonies that Trump cleared. Like, if for nothing else, let's be grateful for that. Let's be grateful that Trump blessed our sister so she can come to our community and help us.
State, right? Federal, all, everything.
So you can go to Canada, basically.
I can go anywhere. If you want to. Passport in my pocketbook, too.
He did it when he was in office.
Now, Trump can only pardon on the federal level because he's the president. Yeah, but yeah. I got a pardon from Trump, and I got a pardon from the state of Georgia. So I'm clear and good to go.
You know them folk like that?
I mean...
Give me some fucking way.
I mean, fuck with you. We gonna fuck with each other. You gonna help out the edges, and I'm gonna get your record clear. That's how we gonna do that.
Clean.
But if we... And that's things that we need to be giving our community, that information. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? All of us, you know, that's from the hood and made it, bosses now, I think that we got a responsibility to give back in some kind of way.
Right. I agree.
Especially if we help terrorize that community. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's go back and help and try to do something to build it back up. Because I can look and tell I'm in a room with some terrorizers. I ain't the only damn one now. Y'all try to talk about me all you want. I ain't no.
What?
You look like you raised a whole lot of hell. But I'm just saying, you know, all we got is us. And this is the last thing I wanted to say. It's important for us to realize, even though I'm going independent, but it's important for us to realize that we need voices that represent us in every party.
Facts.
So if we see somebody that's real and they're a Republican, we ain't gonna just attack them because they're a Republican, because we know that they need to be in the room with those Republicans sharing our plight.
Eyes and ears, yeah.
Because every time I went in there, it was about us, right? And how you gonna get them to change their mind? How you gonna get them to hear what we saying if we not in there and don't have a seat at the table?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we are supposed to be Democrat is insane. And it's okay, right, if you want to be Democrat and just loyal for whatever reason. But do we gotta go along with everything that they say just because we Democrat? Can we protect our children? That's the main thing for me. Can we protect our children and can we get some of this money? Because I'm tired of seeing the money go to Ukraine. I'm tired of seeing the money go to the... How did black people die and George Floyd get hung and all of that, and then all of a sudden they switched to stop Asian hate? What? How did that happen?
Damn. So do you feel like that was a mistake to jump out there and say you're Republican from the beginning? You should have went independent all bad, huh?
I went Republican because of Trump. But I'ma just be honest. I wasn't paying the Republicans no attention. I didn't give a damn about
Let's just keep this shit talking.
I'm gonna be honest. You know what I'm saying? I really went Republican because of Trump. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be completely honest with you about that. But once I got in with Trump though and started paying attention to policy, I think that's when I really woke up to how serious it was and how our people need to escape this just one way of thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
Angela Stanton King, we appreciate you pulling up, rocking with us on Big Facts. Check out
Thank you.
Both of her books. Make sure y'all check out both of her books. And you know what it is.
Not only the books, y'all need to go to AuntieAngie'sHouse.com. This is a
and make a donation.
Man, get a subscription and pay $5 a month. Anything y'all paying for Netflix. Help me help our people. No, I'm just for real. I mean, help me.
And real shit, though.
Because like, when you act like nobody, whether you pro-choice or pro-life, nobody is against helping the women and children in our community.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Let's do that. Auntie Angie's House.
Don't donate to the Children of Latter-day Saints. Donate to Auntie Angie.
I'm telling you. You know, maybe send a dollar over there and a hundred over here. I don't know, but just make it work.
Appreciate you pulling up. Make sure you check us out.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.